Welcome to the Nobody Cares About Your Brand podcast,
where we remind eager entrepreneurs and weary marketers that nobody cares about your brand until you do.
I'm Justin Foster.
And I'm Emily Sikorsky.
Welcome to episode number 2 of the Nobody Cares About Your Brand podcast. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Today, we are talking about concept or principle number 2 of our 7 practices of becoming a brand.
That's right.
Which is what?
Connecting to your root is the second practice that we talk about.
So part of the reason that our name of our little company is Root and River is this idea that we formulated several years ago that brands have a starting point.
Yes.
And where is that?
It is inside of the heart of the leader or the leadership team.
So when we see a company that struggles with authenticity in their brand, or there's a staleness to their brand, or they just seem to do a lot of stupid stuff, I think that you can trace it back to this, that if you were to say to them, well, your brand begins in your heart, and these guys with their, you know, MBAs and spreadsheets would go, well, character design, what does that mean? You know, and the branding is what our ad agency does. So that's right. My executive voice.
Okay. I was wondering.
Thank you. So this idea of connecting to your root, we're not really talking to sort of that classic, you know, Gordon Gekko where they don't really understand what it means, but where does this idea of connecting to the root, what kind of leader does this resonate with? When did they respond and go, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about?
Well, I think you said before, if they've done a lot of dumb stuff, mm-hmm. I would just add to that, but they're a good company. Like they actually, the DNA or the ethic of the leadership is really good. Like they're good people, but they're just misunderstood. Or
that's
a good company, but they just don't appear that way in public. Whenever you're sort of, the outside perception is that, they may be that sort of a leader. Or if they are intrigued by the thought that this brand could begin, it could connect to them emotionally and emanate from who they are, that's when we start to have more interesting and in-depth discussions.
I think the other place that we see it is in the emerging growth or rapid growth post-startup phase, where you have a senior leader who, or maybe is one of the original investors, and they grow, and more money, more problems. And suddenly, it's just not as fun, and there's something missing from their efforts. Uh-huh. And they go from being a startup entrepreneur to being the CEO of a corporation that just isn't that fun anymore.
Right. They forgot why they are doing this anymore.
Right. Exactly.
And sometimes, I think recently too, you know, there is a focus on culture. What kind of a culture we want to establish in that startup phase? But a lot of times they seem to compartmentalize that is nothing to do with their brand. It's just their internal culture, where we believe that that is the brand. The internal culture is the brand. It's how you express your beliefs to your employees, but also to the market. And those things should not be different.
That's right. Yeah. So I think there are some organizations, some brands that they're very, very consistent. They really know who they are, which goes back to, you know, brands are a composite of personalities, a composite of humans. So brands pick up the same traits as human beings do. And one of them that we see over and over again is an identity crisis. They really don't know who they are. But then you see a situation like Southwest Airlines. They know exactly who they are.
Yep.
They make mistakes once in a while.
Yes.
And they're not always perfect.
No.
But everybody there is generally connected to the purpose and mission of the brand.
Right. And for the customer, for the client experience, you know what you're going to get. Even if they screw up, you still know you're going to get that Southwest experience. It's reliable. And that's what people love about standard brands like that.
So another one would be like FedEx. I know several people that work for FedEx, and that there's always a connection to the mission. Ritz-Carlton is another example of that. You know, I think it's you think you can do that when you're a startup and you can know everybody's name, but you get into these big giant global corporations, the fact that they can pull it off is because they stay connected to their root. Not all the time, not 24/7.
And not every big giant brand.
Right, and so, not every, what I'm saying, these ones that are connected to their root, that they have that consistency, that's why they're doing it. So So let's take the listeners on a bit of a journey. How does one begin to connect to your root? What is the starting point?
Yes.
What do you think that is?
That's a really good question. Well, I think for us, we believe, you know, if the brand is found, begins in the heart of the leader. So how do you as the leader connect to your heart? You start exploring that question of why am I doing this? We draw a lot from Simon Sinek's work with the Golden Circle and start with why. You begin to pose these difficult questions that we tend to avoid. And we certainly avoid them in business when we have to get stuff done and be on top of things.
Right.
Taking a moment to pause to gather yourself or your executive team and ask the difficult questions and struggle through the uncertainty that is the majority of that time spent wondering, why am I doing this?
So I would say that in addition to that, I would start with three questions. And question number one is, why does this matter to me? Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this? We believe, you and I have discussed this at length, that your calling, if you have a calling, if this feels like you're doing what you're born to do, that is your brand. And they cannot be disconnected. But, you know, not everybody has that same worldview. But you can still have a visit with yourself and then your leadership team about, why are we doing this? Why does this matter to us? I think that the second thing is, the second question to ask is, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want this to be? What do I envision? It's that, what did you say, the peak to the gap in the door of the future.
Right.
Like, what's out there?
Yes.
And we don't want to create future attachment, but there's some level of, there's a direction where this is going. You know, it's the old proverbial vision thing about where it's going. So what do you want out of all this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the third question is very, very simple, but very much often overlooked, especially in larger organizations. How do you want people to feel? You know, old school branding was about the Mad Men and all that was about, unfortunately, often the manipulation of emotion. But it was a core question that used to be asked in branding back in the golden era of branding, which is, what do we want people to feel? And the paraphrase of that is, what do I want to feel when I think about my brand? When I think about this company that I've put my essence of all that I am into this thing, what do I want to feel about it?
Right. I think a great example of that is Subaru.
Yeah.
They've decided that they want their audience to feel love, and they want their cars to be connected to family and growing up and being there throughout life's ups and downs and travels and adventures, and putting your kid in the car for the first time and then leaving them at college.
Yeah.
So I think that's one example of a brand that's really done a great job of connecting.
And answering those three questions, I'm sure. Yeah,
I think so. It would appear.
It would appear. I've owned 5 or 4 Subarus, so I think that's true. So with connecting to your root, I think another place to go is the idea of a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is sort of a taboo thing because people hear belief system and they think, you know, it's some sort of like religious doctrine or political doctrine. And hey, you know, if that's what you are, progressive, it works for progressive on one end and it works for Hobby Lobby on the other, but that's their belief systems. And so I think very strongly that you need to have a belief system in order to connect to the root.
Right. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
And it goes back to sort of the honesty, like, well, if global domination is your belief system, then at least be honest about it.
Right. Because when that happens and you're down with it, you're just open about it, you start to attract a certain level of talent, of people, of tribe members who agree with that core belief.
Yes, and that's a worldview. I think the second part of this then is you have to begin to look where your beliefs and your behaviors have gaps. And it's a little bit like we talked about in episode 1 about bad habits and good habits. In this particular case, it's an example of where do you find cognitive dissonance or separation between what you say you believe and how you actually believe. And what have you experienced there?
To be honest with you, you know, sometimes if you're a marketing person or you're somebody working in the marketing department, this can be really frustrating because you see the potential perhaps of what the brand could be, but you also see firsthand the gaps to where we're not quite living up to it. So, you know, I think it's really challenging for people who maybe do have that owner's mindset but are not an owner or leader to sort of figure out which things do we really address, we need to address. So I don't know, would you have any thoughts on how somebody might be able to?
Well, I think if you're a marketer, like a VP of marketing, CMO, I think that you're not, you either have to be an order taker or a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that you're in this like, well, my job is to run the marketing department and is to execute the will of the leadership team.
Right.
But if you have the mindset of a chef, it's your responsibility to take all the ingredients that is brought to you by the culture, the value proposition, the offerings, etc., and cook the best possible dish with the ingredients. And so I think that when you're dealing with a possible sense of a gap between beliefs and behaviors, I think you need to consistently say, we cannot cook this, or we can cook this.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this day and age, when the burger doesn't look like the picture, everybody knows. And you, and this sort of egoic mind idea that, well, no one will ever find out that we're constantly inconsistent. You know, don't look behind the curtain. That era is over.
Right. Definitely. You're going to be exposed. That's going to happen. I think that's a great argument for people because you know, it can be intimidating to say, you know what, this is the best approach when you really, I think that leadership is used to you saying, yes, sure.
Yeah, sure. We can do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get that out.
Right.
And it goes to back to, again, to speaking primarily to heads of marketing,
mm-hmm.
is the second place where you need to take a stand is related to the customer experience and the feature set, or the value set of whatever you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an awesome product as far as its features, its bells and whistles, but if the customer experience and the way it's delivered, packaging, fulfillment, customer service, all those other things are inconsistent, you cannot, as a modern marketer, disassociate yourself from the customer experience.
Right.
You have to own that and use your influence and your authority wherever you can to make sure there are no gaps.
Yes.
This is another thing about this, though, is that I think that the number one influencer besides the CEO on a brand experience, and it relates to beliefs and behavior gaps, is the person ultimately that would be called the head of HR.
Mm.
Because they set the tone for recruiting, performance reviews, the structure and culture. They are the chief cultural officers of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are contributing as the head of HR or chief people officer or whatever your title is, if you are contributing to that gap between beliefs and behaviors, it's hurting your brand. So an example of this would be, you see the ad campaign and the ad campaign doesn't really match the culture, and you know the culture is toxic and you don't say anything, that's on you. You need to have a voice and you need to be able to speak truth. In the sense that, hey, if we want to fix our brand, if we want to have an awesome brand, it starts with the way that we treat our first customers, which are our employees.
Absolutely. Your first customers are always your employees. And in the sense of brand,
mm-hmm.
your first brand experience is with your employees. And I think that's something that a lot of brands forget. They want to attract talent, but they don't think of their brand as encompassing
right.
their talent or attracting their talent.
I think this goes to innovation. Finally, as this kind of we wrap up episode two here, is we're talking about bad habits and negative things because that's easier to point out. But I think it also goes to this idea of being innovative.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be innovative, you just continually go back to the root
of
not, you know, trying to reinvent the wheel over and over again.
Right.
So it's a starting point for every single initiative. If you're going to do a merger acquisition, or you're going to expand globally, or you're going to, whatever you're going to do, is you can go back to the root and say, does this match us? Is this the type of thing that we do? Is this who we are?
Mm-hmm.
And so we like to close these podcasts with a personal challenge to each other. So my challenge, what I would throw out for us is,
uh-huh.
where do you think that we get disconnected from our root at Root and River? Where do you think we get disconnected? And I'll since I asked it, I'll start it.
You always start because I need time to mull.
Yeah, well, here's your mulling. You pretend like you're listening to my
okay,
answer.
Okay, I'll nod and pretend like I'm super engaged with what you're saying while I really think
like
about my
answer. Like most of our meetings, yeah. So I think where we get that disconnect is that we get very, very immersed in, it sounds strange, but in client delight.
Yeah.
And we don't, sometimes we have to pause and work on ourselves, work on our brand for a while. And it's a very common thing in branding and marketing, cobbler's kids need new shoes type of thing.
Right.
But we sense that. You know, even the effort to take time and carve out time to write a blog post or record a podcast,
mm-hmm.
that is if our root, if our mission, if our purpose is to help leaders connect to their hearts so that they can go create vibrant brands in the world. We have to emulate that with our own behavior.
Absolutely.
And that's so that's my answer to my own question.
That was going to be my answer.
Okay. We're Do you have a better way of saying it?
I think sometimes we set our we know what our root belief is, but I don't think we always look back at our values, our true core beliefs, our set of them, and really reconnect to those all the time.
Oh, that's a great point.
So I think that that's something that we can kind of we can do. And
yeah, that's true.
Challenge us to do that.
So we talk about defiance as one of our core, like defying common thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we instinctively do it, but to revisit those things, I think that would be a very healthy exercise that would be
Kind of inspiring.
Yeah, and emulating the behavior that we would expect of a client or a fellow marketer in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
And we'll see you virtually on the next podcast. Thanks again. Mm-hmm.